Our Father, we come to you again this morning and thank you for this day. Lord, first of all, the day that we come to worship you, Lord's Day, then for this period of time, for those who graduated from high school and college being here, we pray this would be a memorable day for them. And Lord, we rejoice with them in their achievement and ask that you'd bless them in the different directions they go. Some go to college on from here. Those who graduate from college look for a vocation somewhere or another. I pray that you bless every step that they go. Lord, realize as they chart their course towards a direction that you need to be in the center of everything that's done, not only their lives, but our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 16 with me this morning for just a moment. I want to say something that I hope will be a help to our graduate, but also every individual in here needs to hear this message today. If you got any age on you at all, you'd say amen to the topic of my message. And if you hadn't got there yet, hang on, you will. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, it's by just one verse, Jesus speaking, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you." These things, talking about what he said in John, and also I believe anything else that he said up to this time. "These things," he said, "have I spoken unto you." Watch this. That, watch the phrase, "in me." Now, something's going to take place in him. "I've spoken these things to you." Now, "that in me," Jesus said, watch, "you may have peace." Isn't that interesting? "That in me." You know where you're going to have peace? The world talks about peace all the time. Peace, 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 peace. You see it all the time. We spend millions of dollars sending people to negotiate different places for peace, peace. And sometimes the time they sign it, within a few days, it's already been broken. I think some people sign declarations of peace knowing they're going to break it just as quick as they signed it. That's the world we're living in. And so Jesus said, "These things I've written unto you," or spoken to you, "that in me," he said, "ye might have peace." But then he said, what's the phrase, "in the world"? "In the world, ye shall have tribulation." Well, the world doesn't think that way. The world thinks, hey, peace is what we can accomplish, and God is something else. As a matter of fact, the world thinks today, leave God out of our actions in life, because we can handle things ourselves. God, we just need you for death, marriage, and maybe a few other things we decide later on. But not a constant thing in our life. But Jesus said, "In the world, ye shall have tribulation. In me, ye shall have peace." That you might have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But then he said, "But be of good cheer." I love this. Man, you can see if you live much in this life, the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that this word tribulation means brings a lot of things to you and I in life that is just not right. We don't think it's right. In fact, it just called it being unjust in living as far as our lives are concerned. But Jesus said, listen, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Everything you and I face, and we'll face it. Believe me, we will face it. You will face things in this life that you didn't think you could face and didn't want to face. There are things that you have to face, there's no doubt in your mind, somewhere down the road. You may not understand it, but it's there. And Jesus said, only in me can you have peace. Now, only those who know him understand that statement. I want to speak to you a few minutes this morning on facing a world full of injustice. Facing a world full of injustice. Now, those who just graduated are going to end up realizing that there's a lot of things they're going to face that they don't think they're going to face now. Us who are older, we find our place coming to this point in time where we've seen many things we had to face. And this world did an injustice to us at the time. We didn't ask for it, but we were caught in the circumstance of it at that particular moment. When you talk about education, the world puts a lot on education. Someone asked the question, what is education? I heard a good definition this past week of what education was. Education said is what you get so you can work for someone who doesn't have it. I thought that's pretty good. Someone who doesn't have it. It seems like sometimes people get aggressive who don't have the education of others. And they have to, well, but the thing about it is you get people educated around you, see. Someone may not have it, but to get somebody around you. One of the best things in the world, if you want a success in life, when you have to get people around you, get people around you who literally have a vision you have. If not, it will never be successful. Some of you are going to be in business of your own one of these days. You're going to have people around you who catches on to the vision that what you have and realize that your vision is their vision. And until they decide to go on their own somewhere or another. It's got to be that way. Nothing can grow when you have people around you who's not willing to do what is needed for that what you have, God has led you into to grow. Do you know that? So keep that in mind. Success many times comes when you need someone around you to help with whatever you may be involved in, your vocation of life. Then be sure you have someone who has the same vision. In Luke chapter 1, or Luke chapter 17 in verse 1, Jesus made this statement. He said, as he spoke to the disciples, it is impossible for that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Jesus makes it clear that we're living in an imperfect world in these two verses. This world is imperfect. We say God's perfect laws on imperfect people due to the fall of man. So therefore, if this world is imperfect, and it is imperfect, then we should expect to face difficulties and troubles in this life. God's already told us this world is full of that. Trouble flies up, the scripture says, as sparks flies from a fire, and it's around us all the time. None of us can say that all that has happened to us was just right in life. From our perspective, that none of us can say that no one has ever wronged us, because somebody will. From our perspective, they may not have intended to, but they will. And you'll find that in life. Many have found that as here, and many may have found as much of as other. But if you begin to strike out to do anything, which in turn, that is to manifest especially for God or even for self-invocation, you will find there will be those who are not very happy about it. Sometimes the very people you think ought to be the most happiest will not be, because somehow or another you've got an edge on them at that particular time. So none of us can say that no one has ever wronged us. We have to suffer injustice in one form or another sooner or later. Why? Because there's sin in the world. Sin brings pride, and pride always reacts against anything that where a person doesn't have to do within himself. The Bible itself is full of injustice. The scripture is plain. You go through it and you find many of the patriarchs and many of the individuals in the Bible who was this world handed them great injustice. Just to give you a few, Joseph was treated unjustly by his brother, his own family. They didn't like the attitude between him and his dad, and therefore they were very upset. And when got a chance, took advantage of a time to tell a lie and kill an animal and sell him into slavery and led him down a path, no doubt, that could have hurt most young men in their life. And it amazes me what happens when a person is really where they want to be for God. And the things you look at Joseph's life and where he went to, and yet he never lost what he had position before God. Sometimes we get dealt with injustice. We say, what's the use? Nobody cares. Here I am. No one knows me. Here I'm in the worst situation in life. No one really cares. What's the use? I need to try to get you know, everything I can get when I can get it. If it's offered to me, I'll get it, because I've been treated so unfair in the past. Joseph was treated unjustly by his brothers. Daniel was treated unjustly by those who opposed for his doing right and loving God while he was down in Babylon. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. David was treated unjustly by Saul when he had done nothing to deserve it at that particular time. Herod was unjust when Jesus was born, when he killed all the babies that were 2 years and under in Bethlehem, trying to destroy Jesus Christ, who was born King of the Jews. Bible history is full of injustice. That's just a few. You go through it and look at the saints of God and the different ones that served God, what took place in their lives and the hurt and the heartache they had. Secular history also is filled with injustice. I don't know what you knew or not, but we live on this side to know today that I believe that we have to admit that slavery was unjust to an individual. We have to admit historically many treaties made by America have been broken. When I read the history of our nation, see, even with the natives of our nation, Indian, years ago, treaties were written, and yet because of the mass movement westward, many of them were broken, and eventually the government had to sign another treaty to break the one they had to give at that particular time. These things are historical facts. Business deals have been broken. I'm talking about secular history is also filled with injustice. What are you going to do as you're in a world that's filled with injustice where every way you turn, you can be hurt somehow or another in this particular life? Many times there's injustice in homes, injustice between husband and wives, injustice on the job, injustice among children and the parent, injustice that has to do among friends. You'd have to admit we're facing a world full of injustice, whether we want to or not. Now, what are we going to do about that? God has an answer for us. By the way, God's principles work. God's word works. It may seem in a situation at a time, during a short period of time, nothing is working. But when God's word and principles are put into action in our life, you don't look at the circumstances right then to see the outcome. Sometimes circumstances don't change right then. But the promises of God are sure and steadfast. They will come out for your best when God is always obeyed. Whether we believe it or not, we live in age today, we think we can make it by ourselves. Even Christians can't. And they go and go. Believe me, one day you have to keep in mind the law of God. You will reap what you sow, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. That's the law of God. And it will show up one day in one's life. So, facing a world full of injustice that we know we face, what can we do about it? Let me give you four quick points that God sets forth, I believe, will be a help to us. First of all, if we understand having these injustices, we have to look at the roots of them. What is the roots? What are some roots of injustice? I mean, life is just unfair at times when you analyze it through our type of analyzation. When we look at it through eyes of flesh. Our society is ready with excuses for those who do wrong. We have people right now leading us in our nation who literally look at something that's been wrong as an excuse to blame someone else for it. It's that way all the time. You know, folks, you're going to be facing that. You're going to find that there's going to be some times that you can tell exactly the truth about something and society will deny it and give an excuse for it. He or she could not help it, or he or she were brought up into a dysfunctional family, whatever that is. I don't think anybody can define what dysfunctional is. By the way, there's some dysfunctional in all of us. Amen. Because we have not been made perfect yet in a glorified body. But they'll say he or she can't help it, or they were in a dysfunctional family, or he or she's circumstances are to blame. I want to say to you, God shows us in men like Joseph, whatever your circumstances is, you can always change it with God's help. Amen. Wherever you go to the lowest place in society, you can still change it with God's help. You do not have to have circumstances to guide you the rest of your life. It may be hard for a few moments, but later you'll find that if you let God be what He wants to do through you, He will also bring you out on top. Sometimes, if we're not careful, injustice that we have been brought up in will work themselves out in our own lives. And we'll start blaming something of the past, and then the very thing that we're blaming someone for, we'll do for someone else as they come up later, especially in the home. Sometimes, here it's easy to treat people unjustly because we were treated unjustly. And I say to you, that can be changed with God's help. I hate to know where I'd be if God hadn't changed my heart as a young boy coming up years ago. And seeing I could have been alcoholic, I could have been a lot of things in my life that God changed, praise His holy name, when I got born into the family of God. There's a lot of things through my life that I could have changed and altered it if I had a mind to it, even after I were saved, not be where I'm at today. But I thank God He gave me some principles in the early years of my life that built my life upon Him. Many folks hadn't understand, even my own family many times did not understand it. But God brought it forth through the day to bring me where I'm at today. And by the way, He can do the same for you. You say, preacher, I don't think you ever had any things you had to face in problems. You just don't know how you do that. It's not the injustice that comes to you that matters, how you handle them. How you handle them. And God has given us some principles that we can handle those right in our lives with His help. It seems that man is unaware that God sees everything in our day. Or at least he acts like he doesn't see everything. Psalm 61:10 says God can use the rap to praise Him. Even that when we go through sometimes when we face injustice, God can use that to praise Him, especially if we can react to it with the biblical principles He tells us to do. You see, our responses to injustice determines the effect it will have on our lives. It's not the injustice itself that has the effect on our life. It's how we respond to it that will have the effect, either a positive or negative way in our life. And I think Joseph sees this, shows this in the Old Testament. I think he's a good example of this in the Old Testament. He said to his brothers one day in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, after he had come from his family, he come from a home and went into prison and rose from there to the second command in the palace of Egypt. He traveled a long road from a home, the dad that loved him, and now sold as a slave because some brothers didn't care anything about him, and not knowing where he was going to go, going into the worst circumstances in life, in prison, and then being brought back. He went to prison because he did that which was right. And then being brought back, like God brought. And he said to his brothers now, years later, when they had to go to Egypt because of a famine, and God has raised Joseph up, and he said to his brothers in Job 20, in so many words, Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God can take that which is even evil in your life, if you reflect and do what you should, and bring it out for good. When I say evil, I mean evil comes against you in a way, which in turn makes you have to make a decision. And sometimes many make the wrong decision. In this situation, though, God meant it for good. Injustice can cause bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer puts it this way, looking diligently, that's carefully and painstakingly, lest any man fail, that is, fall short of what? Of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So since injustice is a way of life, then how do you respond to it? When I face an injustice in life, whether it's my fault or not my fault, when I face that, how do I respond to it? There's two ways we can respond to it. One can be a personal way. Grant you, this is the way the world does it most of the time. One's a personal way. That is, we just want to get even. I just want to get back. That's my bringing up. Get even with someone. Whatever it is, I'll get back at them. Give me time. You better watch your back. I will get even. That's a personal way. That's not God's way, though. There's a personal way. It's easy to say, that's the way it was when I was growing up. That's how I was raised. And that's what I'm going to do. I'll tell you this. That attitude will guarantee the continued cycle of injustice going on and on and on and on. Personal response. Get it even. Then there's another way. It's God's way. We can respond according to the principles given by God's Word. Recognize our responsibility. That's what Joseph did in the book of Genesis. He recognized his responsibility. He was faced with a choice. I can be better and do and say, I'm going to get everything I can get. Because I was dimmed by my brethren, the people who should love me, I'm going to do everything I can get. And when I have a chance, I don't care if it's right or wrong, I'm going to get it. And so now he goes down, been sold to a fellow by the name Potiphar, and he's got a wife. But Joseph lets God be honored in his life. And he does everything for his boss. He does everything. He dare not go against his boss. And one day you find, if you go to the book of Genesis, the story. He starts down about 39, chapter 39. And one day, Potiphar had a beautiful looking wife. And one day, day after day after day, according to one verse, she tried to get his wife to lay with him. He said, no, I'll not do that. I'll not do that. If you look in Genesis with me, in chapter 39, you see some things taking place. That is a blessing to see a man as he goes through the cycle of this injustice. He said, no, in verse 8, behold, my master, what if not that what is with me in the house? He said, he had committed all that he had to my hand. Next verse, but you. Everything my master had is committed to me except you. He said, therefore, there's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how can I, then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's a relationship in one's heart that gives a relationship with God. where you're always going to come out the best. He said, there's no way possible I'm going to go against my God and the man that brought me into this place. I was sold in slavery, my brethren. And he said, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. That didn't stop her. Day by day, every chance she got, day by day, she spoke to him that he'd hearken not unto her to lie with her or be with her. In verse 11, he says, and it came to pass about the time, one day he had to go into the house for some business. The rest of the men were not there. And at that particular time, she attacked him. He run out of his coat, tried to get him to lay, and then he came out and he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled. She's telling others now that here he has tried to attack her. Where does he go? He comes from his father's house to a land he's a stranger in. He's sold as a slave. And he's raised to the highest position that his boss could make him because he honored God and God honored that house. And then Satan brought an injustice against him. And now he's in prison. And you go and read 2 or 3 years in prison what he did. And one day, you know the story, he read someone's life and he finally got to the king and king brought him forth. And now you see him when you get over about chapter 50, he's second command of Egypt. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God wonderful? He's second command in the land of Egypt. And now he has a whole... You see, when you act right, when you should, and God be where he ought to be, sooner or later he's going to show you why he allowed it. And he said to his brothers, after he had a little fun with them, he said, I'm going to tell you, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, we can respond according to the principle given by God's holy word. Recognize your responsibility. He could have continued on in the cycle of injustice or break it by doing what's right. He could continue on in justice as he was sold, as he went into the Potiphar's house. He could have went on, but he broke it. Why? By doing what's right, doing what God said do when it came time to make those decisions. He could respond personally or he could respond responsibly according to the word of God. You know, our leaders today want to blame society for individual faults. You don't see no such things as confessing sin nowadays. Recently, I heard a commentator say that one of the factors in our particular day on the NBC network, one of the factors of our particular day is that people in churches do not want the preaching of God's word in the sense to bring conviction of sin like that, but they want the entertainment mode. They'd rather have a pastor who make them laugh than someone who preached the truth. They'd rather have an atmosphere that were when they come to the pew, and he said they have to do this to keep people in the pew. Well, I want to say, I don't know why you came for this morning, but you know good and well when you came here, what you're going to hear. Sunday school, you hear the Word of God taught. Amen. If you come here in this service, you're going to hear the Word of God proclaimed. Some may get up and walk out. That may be different. But one thing, there's nothing wrong with good music. We have good music here. Nothing wrong. Sometime we'll cut back and have a good old-fashioned Southern gospel singing here once in a while. Because we do that once in a while. I love good music. I like a lot of different type of music, too. But when it comes to worshiping God, there's only one way into the throne of God, I believe. And I can't come in there with my flesh. You got to come in there with your heart. You got to come in there, and you know, fact, you have a response to him. This is opposite of what the Bible says. Our leaders say blame society for an individual's fault. This is opposite of what the Bible says. Society will never change unless individuals change. God deals with individuals. One at a time. He may have masses, but he deals one at a time. God deals with individual people, not groups of people. He deals with nation of Israel as a nation, but today he deals with individual people. And those individual people he deals with can move together as a group, like a church or otherwise, for the glory of God. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, Scripture says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Or herself to God. The implication is there. So in Genesis chapter 39, verse 6 through 9, Joseph broke the cycle of injustice by doing what's right. Let me encourage you, young folks. Let me encourage you, dear young adult, whoever you hear. Just keep in mind, you do not have to continue an injustice in a different form because injustice is made to you. You be sure when you come, you break that form of injustice. And God will honor that. He did to Joseph, and he will to anyone else. Joseph understood the principle of responsibility. Today the rule is do unto others as they do unto you, rather than what Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 12, to do to others what you want them to do to you. And I'm just paraphrase that just a little bit. We have our hope. God can change us. So since injustice is a way of life, how do you respond? You respond according to the principle God's word is given, and in so doing, change the situation of injustice. And then refuse to retaliate. When injustice has come, you have to, as a child of God, refuse to retaliate. Joseph refused to retaliate against his brothers, even after 20 years of slavery. Now, he had a little fun with them, but you'll find he loved his brothers. And every time he'd do something to have a little fun, he'd weep. He'd weep because he knew they didn't know who he was. By the way, he could have had them destroyed if he wanted to. You know, he could have had them destroyed. They never went back to their father. They never went back to their homeland. He was second command. Pharaoh, he was like Pharaoh's son. I mean, Pharaoh's son in Egypt. He was the man. All he had to do was wave his hand at him. That'd been it. But he didn't. He didn't retaliate. He could have due to his position, but he didn't. But you do not have to work things out your way. Just be sure it's God's way. God will do that for you if you walk with him and wait on him. David knew that God would take care of King Saul. That's the reason he didn't lift his hand against him when he knew he could. David knew that God would take care of Absalom, his son, when the time would come, and God did. God killed him, allowed him to be killed, and broke David's heart. But he understood that Absalom had taken a wrong way, and David stayed where he should stay, even though he made some bad decisions in the beginning of his life. Here, God will do for you what you can't do for yourself when he's where he ought to be. To refuse to retaliate does not mean to refuse to protect your family. We got an age today, someone said, well, if I don't retaliate, how can I retaliate? We're not talking about safety here. We're talking about injustice. God gives us a right to protect our family. God gives us a right when our family is in trouble to protect them. But when it comes to injustice, then there's another way that God takes for us to take care of that. Getting even is not the issue here. So since injustice is a way of life, how do we respond to injustice? We use the principles of God given in his word. We refuse to retaliate. And then keep in mind the fourth one. Always remember, ladies and gentlemen, God is sovereign. Nothing happens surprises him. Nothing happens to you and I. It surprises me. It surprises you. I mean, I got a big surprise the latter part of last year. It surprised me. It put me in a spin. But God Almighty is never caught by surprise. In Isaiah 46 verse 9, he says, and I quote, "For I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Isn't that interesting? There is none like me. And I believe that with all my heart. And so God allowed Joseph to be sold and treated as he was treated. God had a plan. Isn't it wonderful to know whatever comes your way and my way, God has a plan. Amen. God has a plan. He's already made a way to escape, he tells us. He makes ways, escapes the situation you're in. So when you go into something, suddenly realize, hey, this is not the end. I may be in the valley, but I thank God, I know that I'm going to be on the mountaintop soon. When we understand the principle of God's sovereignty, your reaction to injustice will change, just like Joseph. God took Joseph, again, from his home to a prison, then to a palace. We do not have to get even when we allow God to be God. We need to rely on his faithfulness. And that's hard to do unless you practice it. You have to practice it. Just knowing things is not enough. You know a lot of things you don't ever use in your life. Knowing things not enough. You have to be put into practice. Trusting God makes things turn out right in the long run. Amen. God has a plan. When God helps you decide your destiny, and I want to say this to anyone here who hadn't found your lot in life yet, and to our youth also. When God helps you decide your destination, let him design the map to that destination. We say, I want God to know what his will and design my destination. And then we try to make it happen. By the way, that's what Abraham and Sarah tried to do. They knew the destination of them. He was going to make a nation. It didn't happen for a little period of time. Then God forgot it. They thought they'd help them out, and you know the mess they got in. By the way, they're in the mess today because of what happened back in those days.
Right.
It's something that just doesn't stop because someone dies off the scene. And so life is unfair sometimes. And when it is, how you respond will make the difference in life. We have good reason. Please hear this. We have good reason to answer to the injustice of life, but no reason to retaliate. No reason to retaliate. Injustice is a reality in this world. We all have to deal with it sooner or later. It comes. It is a thing. Jesus said it's going to be here. But the peace you're talking about that I want you to have is in me. I can give you peace in the face of injustice. It is our response to injustice that determines the effect of how it will be upon us. May God help us to respond to God's principle like Joseph did. Life, listen to me, life is not a dress rehearsal. You and I only have one chance at it. One chance. Now, God gives a lot of chance about preparing for eternity. God gives a lot of chances about living for Him. But you can't use this life and think it's a dress rehearsal for another life and suddenly make decisions in that life that you should have made in this life. Life decisions have to be made in this life. Life is not a dress rehearsal. Time is an equal employer, but how you use time is not equal. How I use time is not equal. In time, decisions help me to start things. In time, decisions help me to start things. But once it's started, discipline helps me finish it. Once I have a decision for a goal, discipline will help me reach that goal with God's help, if it's where I want to be. I can't start with a decision and then make 25 different decisions on the way, which is different from each other's goal. Now, somewhere or another, I have to make not only a decision, but discipline myself towards that goal. And then if there comes a time where God alternates that, then decision to be made to another goal. But discipline is what gets me where I'm at to wherever it is that He'd have me to go. And I thought about when facing a world full of injustice. Today is the only time you and I have. I want you to know yesterday's gone. And I want you to know tomorrow cannot be depended on because it has not come as of yet. And God has given us in numerous places like Proverbs 27:1 and James 4:14, you don't have a promise of tomorrow. So the only time we have is right now. And the Bible cries out in Ephesians, redeem it. Redeem it. Take it seriously. Be wise with it. Take it seriously. Today's the only time that really matters. Redeem your time. Use it wisely. Ephesians 5:16. Why? Because He says the days are evil. And that's what brings injustice to you and I in life. I thought about now, the difference it was when I started 50 years ago, got out of high school. Now, 50 years been traveling the road. A lot of decisions had to be made. A lot of discipline had to be made. And I don't care. There's no vocation or job or situation in this life that you can face in this life without some kind of injustice. It's coming to you, one way or the other. And if you know ahead of time, can prepare for it, knowledge is a valuable thing. You say, hey, this is going to happen. God, there's some things you're going to have to help me with. I can't do one thing about it. Lord, unless you fix this or do this or change the course of this, I can't do one thing about this. But one thing I can do is not let this injustice change my attitude towards you. You're going to still be who you want to be in my life, whatever it is I have to face. And God will honor that either here or in eternity one day. Keep in mind, it is wonderful to celebrate to celebrate accomplishments of the past. It is wonderful to look at things of the past and celebrate accomplishments of those things of the past. But with God, hear me, with God, our best days are always ahead of us.
Amen.
Whatever has happened in the past, from where you're at, standing and looking at anything in your life, whatever happens, just keep in mind, it's not the past that you look where the best achievements can be. The best things that God has for you and I is always in the future. May we make the decision about our goal, and then God help us to be disciplined that we could reach those goals in this particular life. It is much better to look ahead and prepare than to look back and regret. If Satan gets you to look back and begin to regret, then he's got you in a tailspin where in turn you're not going to get much help until you change and realize, I can't change the past. I'll put it under the blood and ask God to forgive me and look for a new direction in Him and know that He will keep His word with me. And keep in mind, some of you, not only our young people, will have great achievements in this particular life. But great achievements, and I want to say something as profound as anything I know to say. Great achievements in this life cannot be compared to great relationships with loved ones. A man and his wife, family, achievements in this life cannot be compared to great relationships. And you will find you can achieve all you want to, but you'll never be happy until you learn to have good relationships. God honors relationships. He set up the home. He set it up. And also remember, young folks, for you starting out early, quitters never win. And winners never quit. Never quit. You may have to adjust your life some, and I've had to adjust mine. And when God offers opportunity, I couldn't ask for any better when I got out of high school, deciding where to go and finally be able to go to work and apprentice-like and go to college at the same time. Man alive, you don't hear a lot of that today. Where you could go to college and work at the same time. And then all of a sudden, almost have a degree in electrical engineering, or mechanical electronics, I should say, as it was called in those days. Like about 8 hours. And then all of a sudden, God began to change the direction. That's not what I wanted. Believe me. But yet, from the day I got saved, God opened up doors everywhere for me to speak as a layman. And I had the idea I could do a layman work and work too. Even thought I could go to the mission field doing that. Could have, probably one way. One of my comrades went to Haiti for a few years. And I used to think, man, if I'd have been working, I'd have went to Haiti as a missionary and been working too. You can't mix it up like that. See, to do those things is to do what you want to do. And when you do what you want to do, God's second rather than first. And then decisions have to be made to step out. Thank God Almighty, you may have to adjust at times. You will have to adjust. But adjusting is not quitting as long as God's in it. There's not a person in here that had to adjust to something. We had to adjust when we got married to our mate. We had to adjust when I had children. You had to adjust when you got that first job. When you went into that job the first time, when you're working at it, you didn't go to the attitude, boy, I'm going to hear today and I'm going to change everything. I'm going to do everything in this job just what I won't do and say everybody else. No, you don't. You do what they want you to do. Or adjust.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Or adjust. That's life. I'm telling you. We're facing a world full of injustice. There's a personal way, then there's God's way. God help you to learn something today that would help you in life, wherever we're at in our status. Make decisions of goals. And then discipline yourself with God's help to do that. You see, why I say discipline yourself? Because you should never discipline yourself to let the goal be priority over God. God honors when He's a priority. And He should always be a priority. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. God's priority in life right now, based on the church, based on our commitment to as a soldier of Christ, an ambassador, all those names He gives us, Christian, His priority is to save your soul when the gospel is given to you. Someone listen to my radio. God's priority is that He loved you so much that Jesus Christ died that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Through Him. And live not only here with the joy and peace that God's talking about in the midst of circumstances where injustice flood to us like a river. And yet know that He's able to get us through those things in this life. God loved you so much. He gave people who committed to Him and support a church like this financially so the gospel could be given to an individual. That they could hear the wonderful words of God through His through His Word that He inspired, that He loved you so much, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that wasn't just something He wrote that sounded good poetically. That's a Bible truth. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God is raising the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a Bible truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's a Bible truth. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, that's a Bible truth. I'm saying to you, God's plan and purpose, until Jesus comes back and sets everything afresh and anew, and we enter into that glorious new Jerusalem, is to save souls of those who fail in Adam. He loves you so much. And then for you and I who have been saved, He wants us to realize we're in a world right on full of injustice. He said, be of good cheer, though. In me, you can have the peace that I offer. But in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. My dear brother or sister, I have overcome the world. You know what it means? When you face an injustice, you don't have to act like the rest of the world. You can do what you need to do biblically, and God says, I will vindicate you. I will honor you because you obeyed me. Keep in mind Joseph. If there's ever been a young man in the New Testament or Old Testament who could have rightly said, you know, life has dealt me such a bad hand through the years in my own family and the world. It's just been so bad. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get everything I can and can everything I get. Who cares about anyone else's feelings and so forth? But he never lost that inward thing that God put there for God to be first. Make a decision. God must be first. He must be first. And injustice, when they come, we're not to retaliate. We are to ask for the reasons. We have a right to do that. And may I say to close, I'm not talking about safety here. Now, injustice leads to not being safe. Then we have a right to defend ourselves. God gives us that God-given right. But then there's times He has to defend us. And even when we have a right to defend ourselves and can't, sometimes we can't, Christians in the past couldn't, God defended His children. I'm saying to you, He is the answer to all our problems if we have just learned the principles He gives us and the truth in His Word and obey them. Father, I want to thank You for our young folk this morning. I pray, dear Lord, I realize it's exciting now. They've been graduating high school and also others are soon next year or a couple years will be graduating. They're thinking about this particular time. This is an exciting time. And Lord, a lot of things said right now won't register much. But when they get in that world and they start facing these things in life, there's somebody here going to face something this week who graduated from high school years ago or from college years ago. Dear Lord, and they're going to face something in the next few days and realize, hey, well, you know, though I've come to where I'm at, I'm still facing injustice in life. And Lord, I'm going to just have to put it right down before the throne of grace. I don't know how to handle it. Lord, I couldn't handle it if I wanted to. It's beyond my comprehension. It's beyond my power. I don't even know what to do sometimes. Others who don't understand where I'm at, got all kinds of vice. Boy, they can tell me this and tell me that. They don't even understand, because if they were aware of that, they'd be like I am. But we know this, Lord. You have the answers. Your word is true. If I just get into it and seek Your face prayerfully over a period of time, I know that You'll give me the answer. You'll bring me through it. And I cast my cares upon You in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we ask this prayer. Amen.